Columbia Workshop presents Crosstown Manhattan, an experiment in American documentary broadcasting by Travis Ingham, novelist, short story writer, and journalist, who tonight brings his talents to a new medium in this, his first radio script. Crosstown Manhattan is the first of a contemplated series of exchange programs between the British Broadcasting Corporation and the Columbia Workshop, and will shortly be heard by English listeners over the transmitters of the BBC. The Columbia Workshop presents Crosstown Manhattan. From the towering skyscraper apartments of Southgate on New York's East River, to the fuming funnels of transatlantic liners on the Hudson River 2 miles to the west, 52nd Street cuts straight across Manhattan Island. This single New York street knows fabulous luxury and cringing poverty, knows gaiety and sadness, knows romance and desperation, and the achievements and failures of the city it cuts in half.
At a dead-end sign 40 feet above the East River, 52nd Street begins.
The East River, dark tributary of traffic, where entire freight trains go to sea on barges, and tankers cruise up and down like dingy swans, and impudent tugboats pant and struggle night and day. The East River, spanned by 6 great bridges from Brooklyn to Hellgate. The East River, rushing toward the land and out to sea again on a 9-mile-an-hour current, lapping at grimy docks and factories, lapping also at the high man-made cliffs of one of the smartest apartment houses in New York, rising out of the tidal muck at 52nd Street's dead end, River House.
A private seaplane and yacht dock, indoor swimming pool and squash court, 7 to 17 room apartments, rent from $4,500 to $12,000 a year.
Haven of playwright and playboy, wizard and wastrel, artist and actress, and the very, very, very of society.
Tea on the terrace above the tugs and tankers. Cocktails for a cozy 50. Dinner at 8. Dress? Oh, absolutely. Tails by Savile Row. Downs by Schiaparelli. Faces by Elizabeth Arden.
And always conversation. Bristle, brisk, cosmopolitan, modern chatter.
Oh, my dear, you should have seen her. A perfectly poisonous blonde, positively drenched in that tiara. I said it's all
my hair.
I
don't see how.
My face an inch deep in mud, and she walked into the booth, and the stupid girl insisted on introducing us there and there.
And the very best of information, and the merger fell through, leaving me holding the bag. That's me every time, just a sucker boy.
Helen, my dear, a profile like Robert Taylor, and oil wells spouting all over the family homestead in Oklahoma. Five Indian, of course, you know, but what of that? What more could you have?
Thus the rich, the well-born, and the successful, whining, dining, and dancing high above the river, with air conditioning to shut out the weather, and soundproofing to shut out the noise, and marble walls to hide the squalor that lies alongside, just below, and the street with a dead-end sign at the bottom.
Oh, I said to the landlord, I said, listen, you chisel, if you think you're going to make me pay $20 a month for this dump, you got another thought.
You sell, I buy, bottles
come
and
on, get it here, give me a seven. Baby needs a new pair of shoes. Watch it. Here comes the bull. Grab his old boys. Let's take a powder.
So sorry for his old woman, I do. Him on relief from drinking himself to death night after night. Or steal a kissing cup.
Dead end of joy and hope and aspiration. ramshackle, jerry-built old law tenements, sagging wearily against the massive bulk of skyscraper apartment houses. Perfect machines for modern living. 52nd Street takes a last breath of the mixed essence of expensive respectability and ragged poverty and plunges west across First Avenue, a solid moving line of trucks and buses, down between rows of shabby rooming houses and five-story apartments at dark towards Second Avenue.
Buses and brewery trucks, taxi cabs and trolley cars, push carts and pedestrians, hurrying over the clamorous cobblestones, dodging in and out around the legs of that straddling colossus, the elevated railroad.
29th Street.
Downtown,
about
1 million
passengers a day. 1 million passengers a day.
There's more room on the L, no standing
portion. Use the L for help. Use the L for hate. Use the L.
The Second Avenue L, 30 feet above the street, from which the rushing passengers look into the unshuttered windows of the poor, where the thunder of steel on steel never dies, day or night, and the working man sets his clock by the passing of the train. Again, as 52nd Street moves on toward 3rd Avenue and another elevator, beneath which myriad small businesses eke out a hazardous living, trafficking in liquor and drugs and food, in radios and cheap clothing, in ice and firewood.
Italian, a delicatessen, spaghetti, olive oil, antipasto, parmesan cheese.
Drugstore, relief for headache, stomachache, backache, and itch and sleep.
O'Reilly's Bar and Grill, entertainment every evening. Fish chowder on Fridays, ladies invited.
Freddy's Radio Repair Shop. If it wouldn't work, call Freddy. Service with a smile.
Hairdressing specialist, Hollywood Cop yours. Permanent, only $3.
In blocks like these, from 2nd to 3rd, from 3rd to Lexington, thousands live and die, rarely straying beyond the bounds of their little concrete paved communities, never leaving New York, unconsciously imprisoned in this web of steel and mortar and brick.
The street is the natural playground for the children of these people, children who've never seen a cow or a field of corn or a country brook, to whom a bird is either a pigeon or a sparrow, to whom the country is Central Park.
Children whose games are curiously cramped and pathetic, like baseball with a broomstick for a bat, a soft rubber ball, manhole covers for bases.
Two down and two away.
Just back there, Larry. Put him out this time.
Come on. Look at that. Throw the ball. Throw the ball. Put him out in second.
Nice, Vinny.
I got you. You're all.
I hit him, I tell. I got to the base before.
Oh, yes.
Baseball, hockey on roller skates, handball, prisoner's base, dice, cards. These are the diversions of city boys. City girls have their games, too. They play hopscotch and skip rope.
Teddy bear, hopscotch rope. Teddy bear, climb the stairs. Teddy bear,
play your play. Tag is popular, too. Popular and dangerous. Sometimes the taxi cab speeding to make a traffic light.
Merciful, Millie, he hit her. How limp she lies.
Do something.
Oh, Dr. Somebody,
call the police.
A child plays in the street and nobody cares. A child lies unconscious in the street and the city rushes every agency to help. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, four. This unknown child holds the center of the stage. Then the ambulance departs. The driver of the taxi cab is taken to the police station for questioning. The pedestrians move on, and the children choose up sides again.
This is Jimmy Doma Good. Moosey Goosey Doma Noosey Hum Tom Doo. Tolliver Bolliver Boo. Out goes.
Teresa. That is all.
52nd Street still moves west, down a block of shabby old brownstone residences to Lexington Avenue. Poverty and dirt are behind us now, Here is a wide thoroughfare, bright with the red and blue and orange of neon signs, crowded with big green buses and prowling taxicabs, thunderous with the subway under the street.
Lexington Avenue subway, let him out.
That's Lambert Avenue.
Hi.
Hurry with my chain.
Hurry, out the door.
Hurry, or you'll miss the train and have to wait a whole 2 minutes for the next one. Hurry anyway, for that is the way of New York, of Lexington Avenue. This, busy, hurry.
$1,500. 52nd Street hurries on across Lexington through a short block of small fresh restaurants and semi-smart shops to Park Avenue. Park Avenue, synonym for swank the world over. 100 years ago, a cattle pasture. 30 years ago, a railroad yard. Now, a vast twin boulevard with a slim lane of turf in the center, an unbroken wall of apartment houses, hotels, and smart clubs on either side, and the eternally changing line of green and red lights up the middle, as far as the eye can see. Limousines and luxury, top hats and tiaras, sables and orchids, and jewels that flash briefly in the night and vanish into private car or taxicab. Small dogs and gigantic doormen, and awnings that jut out over a sidewalk clean and broad, and ever shaken by the New York Central Railroad trains that each minute of the day and night roll underneath the avenue and the apartment houses and on into the vast Grand Central Terminal at 42nd Street. The voice of Park Avenue is low, cultured.
It is also smart and very expensive.
I'm only going around the corner, Rodolphe, but I'd better have a cab. It looks like rain.
Yes, madame. Here you are.
Well, darling, the town's all right there. Where can we go?
Oh, I don't know. What would you suggest?
Oh, how about dinner at 21, El Morocco, and after that, Harlem?
Same old circuit. Oh, all right. But it does seem as though we could do something different once in a while. It's so ridiculous.
Herbert dropped $100,000 in the market yesterday.
Oh, not really, my dear. How appalling.
Appalling? It's too abysmal. If this goes on, we shall simply have to dismiss the second chauffeur, put up the rolls, and take to the station wagon.
Down the block from Park to Madison, 52nd Street glides past small French restaurants like Louis and Armand's and Joseph's, past gay little shops wherein you can purchase a smart hat or a Paris frock, a case of Napoleon brandy, or a pedigreed psyllium. Past the soaring flanks of the Columbia Broadcasting Buildings, 52nd Street moves steadily toward Fifth Avenue.
Fifth Avenue, where double-deck buses move in an endless line, and pedestrians hurry, and a few ancient residences hold out against the inrush of great stores.
The Pinner for fine clothes.
Mark Cross for fine leather.
And Cartier.
Cartier, whose windows gleam modestly with a fortune in gems, whose entryway perpetually guarded by a special policeman proclaimed from marble and gold plaques.
On October 25th, 1919, Cartier was honored by Her Majesty, Queen of the Belgians.
On October 23rd, 1926, Cartier was honored by Her Majesty, the Queen of Romania. On October 10th, 1936, Cartier was honored by Her Majesty, the Queen of Spain.
Good 52nd Street hesitates only briefly here, then hurries on. For just west in the block between 5th and 6th Avenues lies one of the most remarkable streets in all the world.
Swing Alley!
A short 20 years ago, there were no neon lights, no nightclubs on 52nd Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. Quiet, wealthy people lived behind the ancient brownstone fronts just off 5th Avenue, a couple of blocks from the theaters, and were content.
Then came Prohibition, a living lie of a generation of Americans. And after Prohibition came repeal. And now today, of the 100 families who once dwelt in peace and tranquility in this single block on 52nd Street, only one survivor is left. A little old lady who stoutly declaimed,
"For 53 years I have lived in this house, and I intend to go on living here until I die."
And all around this sturdy remnant of the old guard, swing music surges nightly. And a generation which never knew prohibition shags toward 52nd Street's neon signs. And taximen wage their private wars for customers along Swing Alley.
Cab, Mr. Cab.
Right here, Mr.
I've been waiting 2 hours for a fare.
Come on, get out of there. That's my customer.
Listen.
Hey,
how you like that?
No,
Kipple,
get out of there.
Come on, get out of there, Cab. You little of you.
Look at him. Smashing fenders, brawling and cursing each other. What a racket this is, driving a cab.
Oh, I don't know. I'm making my $2 and a tip and $5 whatever a day. I can't complain.
No. Say, I bet you wish you were back in Italy. Now, come on, Louis. Tell the truth.
No, not of me. Not of me, Abe. I got a nice wife and 3 good kids. Well, it's a boy. He's going to New York University next year.
Now, don't say.
Sure.
Growing up, see?
Yeah.
What you going to be?
Well, I say lawyer. He say doctor. I don't care. Whatever he wants. Well, it's a girl. She's getting married, too, one of these days.
Now, ain't that something? And you driving a hack.
Sure, why not? It's a living, eh?
Yeah, sure. But it ain't much more.
Yeah. But someday, I'm going to own my own taxi. Then you see.
What I got a piece about?
Say, I'm a one of lucky fella. I ain't a wearing a black shirt. And that's something.
Neon lights and taxicabs. You'll find them all over Manhattan, of course. But on 52nd Street outside number 21, although there are taxicabs, there are no neon lights. For 21 is different.
Behind the iron gate of 21 lies Jack and Charlie's. Once a speakeasy, now one of the most expensive and prosperous of New York restaurants. A nightly gathering spot for the glittering figures of stage and screen and blue book, of novelists, and newspapermen, and bon vivants.
Oh, I'd love to dine with you, but I'm flying to the coast tomorrow. My new picture goes on location.
Well, I see, but your second act is weak. Now, if you'll just rewrite from...
No, I said to him, you simply can't get Shakespeare on contract. After all, he's dead. You can't do business with a stiff.
Daddy, but I can't help it. She's got green eyes and a figure like a snake. Well, you can have her. I'm off to Reno on Saturday.
Not again. You're not going through the mill again.
Well, I certainly am.
Oh, they ought to give you a 20% discount out there.
No, now, don't think about that.
Pardon me, folks. I'm supposed to call Irving Reese out of Paramount, and it's 5 o'clock in Hollywood now.
21, where the celebrities go to see and be seen.
Opposite 21, a different type of customer gets exactly what he wants at the famous store. Box-like room, copper ceiling, dance floor like a postage stamp, jitterbugs rampant, and swing in the groove.
Celebrities on the walls in fresco, on the red leather divans in person. Italian cooking, expensive and excellent. 60 varieties of cocktails. There is no swing and Tony's, but people, people, important people.
But there is swing across the way at the Onyx Club, where Riley and Farley rock the nation with a startling discovery that if you blew in one end of a French horn, the music went round and round, and it came out here.
Corner of 6th Avenue, 52nd Street rests a moment, reeling a bit from swing's frantic tempo. A noisome Avenue 6, where workmen labor 30 feet above ground, tearing down the abandoned elevated, while 30 feet below the surface of the street, other workmen toil, pushing a new subway uptown at a cost of $125 million a mile.
Yeah, New York will be a swell city when they get it finished.
6th Avenue to 7th, a block of night-cloaked garages and vast parking spaces, and a silent tomb in the Manhattan Storage Company's warehouse. And then 52nd Street pauses, bewildered, on the brink of 7th Avenue and Broadway. For here, these two great north and south arteries, swiftly converging a few blocks below to make Times Square, are still at their greatest, whitest, most incandescent, mocking the night with a battery of a billion bulbs, shaming the stars with a cacophony of incandescence, bombarding the eyes of the passerby with a thousand feverish, frantic messages. The electric signs of Broadway.
We blink and twinkle,
wriggle and wrinkle,
twist and turn, act like vermin.
We get to weave,
I get to read.
We dip at the start.
We're blinking,
winking, winking,
blinking, blinking,
winking, winking,
blinking,
winking,
winking,
winking.
And up we go now.
And now we go down.
And up we go now.
And now we go down.
And then we go
sideways.
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 And some go around.
And round.
And round.
And round.
And round.
And round.
We offer you shows and lend you clothes, advertise booths and flash you news, sell you tires and make you buyers of coffee and gum, toffee and rum, sugars and spices and flavored ices, tobacco and wood, ham and cotton, goods that are good and goods that are rot.
Good that are good, good that are good, good that are good, good that are good, good that are good.
We dance and fight as drummers in overwhelming numbers.
We dance and fight as drummers in overwhelming numbers.
Fandangles
and tangles
and jazz
and razzmatazz.
Hey!
Nonny, 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 hey!
Now and then we spell.
S-P-E-L-L, spell, spell.
Why do we spell?
Well, you see, we spell in order to sell, you see.
S-P-E-L-L, spell, spell.
Oh, twisting is bewitching.
Broadway, the great white way, incredibly tawdry, incredibly crowded with people, people, people by the hundreds of thousands, people from everywhere but New York. A quarter of a million visitors who pour into the city every day, swinging down into the bland canyon of steel and concrete.
From the great cathedral to the cinema.
The Palace.
The Paramount.
The Capitol.
The Roxy.
To the glittering Broadway nightclub, the Casa Manana, the Paradise, the International Casino, the Cotton Club, where for $1.50 you can have
50 stalls, 10 terrific babies.
1.5
stalls, girls.
A fine course dinner.
Flavors, frivolity, and fun. Fun.
Fun.
To the theaters on the side streets.
Maurice Evans in Hamlet.
Raymond Massey in Abe Lincoln in Illinois.
Helen Clare in Kiss the Boy, Goodbye.
Robert Morley in Oscar Wilde.
Up and down they go. To the great public dance halls. To the shooting galleries and song shops. To the movies and the burlesque. Ever searching, ever yearning for the things they haven't got, never will get. Pushing, struggling, hurrying, up and down Broadway. The 2nd Street crosses when and as it can, darts on toward 8th Avenue, past the Nickel Arcade, past an indoor skating rink, past a dozen different restaurants.
Chinese, Mexican,
Turkish,
French. And baked beans, apple pie, and hamburger.
On into the San Juan Hill section of New York, settled by Negroes long before Harlem. The faces that greet one now are black, the teeth flashing, the voices soft and melodious.
Hello, sugar.
are my sweetness tonight.
Hey, big boy. How are you?
Can't complain. Where you all trucking so fast?
The drugstore down yonder.
Now, ain't that something? I just on my way that same hot spot for to bathe my tonsils in a Coca-Cola. I believe I just joined you.
You asked him, Mr. Brown?
I'm telling Miss Jones.
Eight to nine. Another elevated. Another brightly lighted avenue, but dim compared to its sister Broadway.
Ninth to tenth. The lights are growing dimmer. The people fewer.
52nd Street is drab now. A little sinister. A street of alley cats and ash cans and the rubbish of humanity. A street of derelicts and poverty, hurrying on past 10th Avenue, over a railroad cutting, past the humble homes of Polish and Irish dock workers.
The wind sweeps chilled from the river, and no one lingers here except a few homeless men gathered around a flickering fire of odds and ends, discussing the immediate future of a meal and bed.
How'd you do today, Louis?
Oh, not so tough. I got a head out of the dog cart.
Yeah, the day man's old, but that guy a nice boy.
Yeah, he wouldn't give Angel Gabriel a break.
Well, I guess I'll go down to the mission and sing for my best.
Not me. I'm going over on the east side. I know where there's a nice, warm grate and a cup of the heart in his chest. And that's where I'm.
Poverty again. Poverty and misery always along the rivers in New York. At the bottom of 52nd Street, the West Side Motor Highway squats before 12th Avenue. A suspended highway of steel and concrete teeming with sleet traffic slipping swiftly downtown at 35 miles an hour to the Holland Tunnel in New Jersey. Uptown to Riverside Drive, the George Washington Bridge, and the smart suburbs of Westchester County.
Here, 52nd Street ends where the Hudson River sweeps seaward, black and swift, and the docks loom large and impersonal like barracks, and the great ocean liners strain at their hawsers with the rise and fall of the tide.
The Manhattan,
yeah, Raymond,
La Normandie,
the Queen Mary.
It is almost midnight, and the Queen sails with the turning of the tide. 12th Avenue is choked with taxis under the elevated highway. Lights blaze from the great Cunard docks. And all is bustle and confusion.
Not much time left. Not much breath for the foolish, fond phrases flung like streamers from deck to dock and back again.
It is exactly 1 minute past 12. The last pauser shears the oily dock water. The stay-at-homes wave handkerchiefs, hats, bottles, and flags. The go-aways wave back.
Six dwarf tugs back and fill, heave and snort. The Queen yields, moves inch by inch into the river, warps around, blocks out the light of Jersey on the opposite shore.
There she is now, all 1,018 feet of her. Bow poised in midstream opposite the foot of 52nd Street. Stern uptown, five blocks, abaft 57th Street.
The tugs cast loose. The tide changes. Leapt seaward. And the Queen slips down the bay, outward bound for home. Just heard Crosstown Manhattan, a presentation of the Columbia Workshop. Crosstown Manhattan was written by Travis Ingham. The verse picture of Broadway Lights by Norman Corwin. The orchestra was conducted by Mark Warno, and the entire production was under the direction of William N. Robeson. Next Thursday night at the same time, the Columbia Workshop will present Orphan Eagle,
A short story by Arnold Manoff, adapted for radio by Leslie Urbach.